like this.
Oops. So now we can understand that the concept of luck and error, properly understood, would apply equally. What do you see from this? That the underlying reason most people think luck and error is bad, and as long as you have this belief, you're not going to have to get scared of luck and error. The underlying reason why most people think that luck and error is bad is because they're harming somebody else. If they're on that level. Of course, they think they're not supposed to do it because you're going to hurt somebody's name, you're going to hurt somebody's reputation. Right? And that's why they think it's wrong. If they're on the level where they're willing to do it, it's wrong. Now, as long as you have that idea, it's very, very difficult to ever kill yourself with love and harm. Because you're always going to be able to justify it. It's very, very easy. When a person speaks like that, each person in his own mind is convinced that there's enough protections over here, there's enough reasons why this particular tidbit that I just gave out of the phone is not going to come to any harm, because any this person will not say anything. Because they gave me their word, they wouldn't. Now it happens to be that this person who acquired it because they also gave their word to the one who told them that they wouldn't tell anybody. See? But I found, whenever a person tells you that, I mean, it's not what you know. It's a piece of information that you just don't want to get out. It's not what you know. And a person guarantees that they won't. Whenever they tell you that, they always mean, but with one exception. Each person always has one exception. That's how it gets around, and the whole world knows about it, because they did. They didn't tell. One exception, except that they kept their word. And then the person they tell it to, so the thing is that it's easy to justify. You can find enough reasons why in this particular case that you're dealing with is not going to harm the person. But that doesn't matter. Because you see that even in speaking Russian Arab back on land, you're partaking of Russian Arab, which means to say that the essence of why the Torah prohibits Russian Arab is because you're destroying your own soul. It's not because, of course, it is true that most Russian Arab, when it deals with other people, it is another way of gratifying your aggression against the other person. No question about it. That's the Chazal. Chazal say that there are three sins for which a person loses all in the world to come. Idolatry, Avodah Zarah, showing the blood, Sifat Damim, and the Gilaraya, the forbidden sexual relations. And the Lashon and Hara is equivalent to all of them. The Lashon and Hara is equivalent to all three. The three major Avodah. One second. The thing is, however, that underneath all, the other mitzvah, people don't realize this, that the underlying purpose of all the mitzvahs is for your own well-being, for your own protection. Not just to have a good and orderly society. And the ultimate destruction, when you perform an avera, is even if you didn't harm the other person. Even if you didn't harm the other person, let's say it's true, you didn't harm the other person. But the ultimate reason why God prohibited it is because it's impossible for you to become perfected as long as you're engaging. Because the only way that a person can achieve perfection is by acknowledging his emotions and appeal to them. See, it is when you recognize your own nature and you can deal with your own nature. But a person who speaks in Lashon Hara will never look himself. Because he's always able to displace and project any defects that he has onto others. Onto the job. He doesn't even have to be a person. Onto the situation. Now that's the mentality of those people. You'll see people who don't make progress. Who don't make progress are people who are steeped in the mentality of displacement of others. Now it's sorry today. And I'm not a bigoted person. But the reason I don't see it is I'm not a bigoted person, but if you study why by and large, I mean blacks have not made, to the extent they have, some have made progress. You see, and some have not. The largest part in New York, for example. Certain mentality. And you can compare them to those native, you know, the Native American that have been here for, and the blacks that come from the, you know, the Indians or other parts, and they are much more advanced. The mentality over here is they, by their leaders, by either a certain group of liberals, whatever, a certain way of thinking, that blame the country. So it's the whole educational system. People are raised to feel that the country employs us, the country knows us, it's the welfare mentality. But that means it's not that welfare produces. The mentality is that the system is no good. They wind up where it's really the greatest system in the world. There's no better system, practically speaking, for a person to move in, to get an education, to progress, if you have an ability, then you see a person can reach the top. Even the the chairman of the Colin Powell, Joint Chief of Staff, which the person has talent, he can rise to the top. But they promote the idea, like the shopping mentality, that the whole system is geared against you. This whole system is inherently a trade. It's totally nonsense. I'm not saying that there's no impediments. There's discrimination. There's racism in the world, in the country, but it can be dealt with. But that is the mentality of not looking at your own defects. It's a cover, because the truth of the matter is that there are real defects. But every people have these defects. And the Jews have their defects. And to the extent, the whole sanctity of the Jewish people, the Kedusha is the ability not to blame others. That's why when a crisis occurs to the Jewish nation, the mitzvah tells us to look inward. It's a mitzvah lezanos, the Rambam says. The tshuva. Then, because historically the Jews have gone through more discrimination and suffering and oppression than other people, but you see, they never developed, even after the Holocaust, they never developed that mentality that the problem is with the world. It's always inculcated. The Jew always searches within himself. And as soon as they came to America with freedom, tremendous rose to the top, tremendous freedom. The Arab world is very backward. The Arab world today is extremely backward. In spite of all the oil wealth that they have, the Arab societies are technologically extremely backward. They have the very same mentality. The imperialistic, they're living in the past, in the new world. The only ones that have money over there are the very corrupt. Because the ones that have the oil, and they bring in Western states, they have not. You see, because, look at Israel. Israel is a small country with a couple of million Jews, and they're able to defend themselves against the whole Arab world. Here, Saudi Arabia, the wealthiest country, they spent billions on the most advanced, they couldn't put together an army. They had a threat from Iraq. The United States had to send over 500,000 troops from like 28 nation coalition. Why couldn't they defend themselves? Why couldn't they defend themselves? Nobody even questions it. Nobody even questions. Why couldn't they put together an army? They're taking on nothing. They're steeped in this mentality of blaming the West, the hatred for the West. They have a tremendous, that's why it's always anti-Western. All right, now maybe it's a little bit different because Bush saved them from Iraq, but you'll see it's not going to last. There's an inbred, that's why you have to be so careful. God forbid, do anything that would offend them, man, to worry about their sensibility while he's there trying to save them. So then, I mean, you see, they weren't allowed to pray, because Christians, they say, I don't know, I'm just telling you, you notice their mentality, they have the right, they never recovered, it was a blow to their ego, and they never recovered, and their whole mentality is to blame the West. Well, that's the case, you never have to deal with yourself, you never deal with your own problems. Okay, that is the mentality of Lachnarik. The Lachnarik is a person that, rather than face himself, his defect, lives in a world of right, projecting and blaming on others. You see, it's not just Lachnarik people. You see, you know, it's treacherous. The situation is no good. The job is no good. So go find another one. Yeah, the other one won't be any better. So go find another one. Go move out of this city. The other city is no good too. So it goes to a different country. That stinks. So the world stinks. The life, the whole thing. Not him. This person, these people are perfect and they're really fantastic. And but the whole world somehow is geared, from everything is geared not to let them succeed. See, that's people that blame the situation. Rather than look at themselves and see, be realistic. Maybe your dogs are crazy, whatever it is, or maybe you're doing something wrong. And these are the ones you see also that the craziest things always happen to them. Every time they always had an opportunity, the craziest things took it away from them. It's like blaming, it's a certain mentality of blaming the situation, distorting reality because you can't face the truth. I think that's the one idea. That's why you see the Maragim did not learn from Miriam. But as I say, you don't want to denigrate in any way great people like me and I, obviously. When we speak about them sinning, we understand it because they're in a different context. They're at a senior high level. But even so, and even though their intention was not malicious, but the mechanism was there. The mechanism was there. And the essential mechanism is the distortion of a certain external reality to protect themselves from having to look at self. And that's the mirage. They couldn't look at self. They couldn't acknowledge they were a failure. They were talent. And you have the courage. That one didn't go good. I'm a coward, I can't fight. Yeah. They would have been skewed. That's it. go to Moshe, come back to Moshe and say, we went there, something wrong with us. There's something wrong with us. We're not sick. We couldn't do that. Something wrong with the land. Moshe is Jibat Ha'aretz. They slandered the land. That's the idea.